This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
A person says that he heard a fatwa that it is haram to have a credit card. So he wants to know, is it allowed to have a credit card or not? Jayyid. So let us now answer this question.
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ.
Before I begin, I want to state that when it comes to Islamic finance, and we will be answering many questions over the course, inshallah, of the next few months and years, however long Allah gives us this opportunity. When it comes to Islamic finance, what I have discovered in my answering questions is that a lot of us Muslims, we have already made up our minds before listening to any scholar or any sheikh. We already have a clear in our minds, black and white, haram and halal. And when a person comes and gives any opinion that is not in accordance with the one they have already heard, rather than thinking and listening, they immediately dismiss, oh, you must be not knowledgeable, or you must be one of those progressives wanting to water Islam down. This is not the way. Listen, and listen to authority, and listen to who is saying this. If you come with preconceived notions, what's the purpose of asking a question? Listen and see what the ulama have to say about our times, and realize that economic issues, modern Islamic finance, it is one of the most diverse and hotly contested issues. And it is not something that is black and white, it is something that is gray. For most of the questions that are being asked, it's a gray area. So anybody who hasn't even studied Islamic finance thinks he knows the answer. I'm 100% yaqeen. It shows that he doesn't have any actual studying and he's simply making an assumption. Great ulama say, Allahu alam, but I think this might be the case. And somebody who's never studied has made up his mind, this is haram and this is halal. So keep this point in mind, that be open-minded. Islamic finance is a very diverse field and there's a lot of views on this issue. Now, the issue of riba. There is no question and there is no controversy that giving somebody money for as a loan and demanding more back is the essence of riba, and it is one of the major sins, and it is one of the seven deadly sins, sab' al-mubiqat, and it is the only sin regarding which Allah has said in the Quran, فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. There is no difference of opinion that giving somebody money, here's $1,000 you need a loan, but give me back $1,100. There is no ikhtilaf that this is one of the major sins of Islam that is in the same category as murder and other crimes. However, with that having been said, also realize that there are a number of traditions that are ascribed to the Prophet ﷺ that are commonly heard and said, but in reality are not authentic. The Quran is enough, and authentic hadith in Bukhari and Muslim is enough to tell us riba is a danger. We have to be careful we don't narrate a hadith that have no basis or are very weak. And of them is the one that is commonly told by the people. There are 72 categories of riba. The least of them is like committing zina openly with your mother. Wal-iyadu billah. Ibn al-Jawzi, in his famous book about weak hadith, he mentions a number of these hadith that committing, doing riba is worse than this and worse than that. He mentions a number of them and he says all of these are weak or fabricated. And he then says, how can taking the slightest amount of riba, a'udhu billah, be equal to having zina with your mother? It's not even logical. And he goes that zina, it breaks up families and creates children that are illegal and this and that are illegitimate. Whereas riba, the harm is to yourself. Whereas zina, the harm is to society. How can the two be the same? And the famous scholar Al-Muallimi, he commented, these ahadith are not from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the scholar Ibn Jibreen, one of our teachers, he said, these types of ahadith are from the fabrications of those who used to tell stories, not from the scholars of hadith. So you have to be careful. The Quran is enough. We don't need these bizarre traditions that don't make sense and that frankly, even the mind rejects even before looking at the isnad, and the isnads of these are weak. Now, as for the issue of riba being on the receiving end, not on the giving end, i.e. not giving a loan, but having taken a loan, realize that from the very beginning of time, there has been a dissenting voice, primarily Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Al-A'zam, the great scholar. He would have a position that his students supported and defended. And to this day, the Hanafi school is between these, some of them accept, some of them don't, which is that this is his position. I'm simply telling you, you should be aware of it, that in his view, Muslims living as minorities would be allowed to deal with riba in the minority situation, not in the majority situation. And he defended that view, and he has a long way of arguing, and I don't want to get into there. Now, that's one madhab. The other three rejected this, and they said, no, the sharia is the same in Pakistan as it is in America, and we should not change just because of our culture. And this is what I hold as well, by the way. But you should be aware, there has been a view, not from some strange scholar, from Imam Al-A'zam himself. And he has some very sound logic. If you read his logic, he was a great intellectual, and he's arguing in a way that in some ways is very convincing, but then the flip side is, look, the sharia is the same. Doesn't matter if you're in this land or that land, it should be the same. And so the other three did not agree with this. Now, I agree with that's the majority as well. However, almost all of our scholars, and especially our modern scholars, they are pretty much in agreement, our modern scholars, that giving a loan of riba is not the same level of haram as accepting a loan and having to pay riba on it. Both are haram. Both are haram. But the la'na in the Quran is about category 1, not category 2. Do you guys understand the difference? Giving somebody money and demanding more, that's fa'adhanu biharbi min Allahi wa rasulih. And that is sab' al-mubiqat. As for taking the loan and giving more back, there's no doubt that this is a sin, but not to the level of category 1. Now, what difference does it make not to the level? I'll tell you why. In the sharia, there is a good principle, everybody agrees upon it, that necessity or difficult circumstances allow the haram to become halal. We all know this when it comes to eating pork, or we all know when you're about to die and there's nothing to eat. We all know, right? إِلَّا مَطُرِتُمْ إِلَيْهِ. Now, here's the point. Please pay attention to this. When deciding at what level of difficulty the haram becomes halal, we look at two things. Number one, the level of haram. And number two, the level of difficulty. Put together, a scholar, not an average Muslim, a scholar will then contextualize and say, okay, this level of haram is not to this level, so therefore we can contextualize. Let me give you a simple example. Somebody dying from hunger. Somebody dying from hunger. And he has the option of eating maita, dead meat. And he has the option of eating, so dead meat, he finds a cow on the side of the road. It's been killed accidentally, not as zabiha, like, you know, just dead cow. And he finds a pig. Both are haram. Which one is he going to resort to first? The cow. Why? Because the level of tahrim of the dead cow is not to the level of tahrim of the dead pig. Do you understand this? Right? Now, another scenario. I'm just giving a hypothetical. You get the point here. Another scenario. A person's dying. Or a person's threatened. A gun is put to his head. And the person says, unless you steal from this man, I will kill you. You take his wallet, you have to pickpocket. Or if you don't do that, I'll kill you. I'm just giving a scenario. Pretty much most scholars would say, if he wants to take this option, he can take the pickpocket and give him the wallet, and he will be excused on Judgment Day. Now, suppose the same person puts the gun and says, you have to kill that person or else I will kill you. All of our scholars say, no, he cannot do that. Because the level of pickpocketing is nowhere near the level of killing somebody. And in no circumstance is your life more precious than the other life. You can never be forced to commit murder. You will die before you commit murder. I'm giving you a hypothetical example so you understand the principle. The principle, or another example. Somebody says, oh, pickpocket that person, or I'm going to slap you across the face. A slap is not a gun to the head. Do you understand what I'm trying to do to you? I'm trying to give you the scenarios of the level of haram and the level of difficulty so that you understand. It's not a black and white issue. Now, who gets to decide? The alim. Not the one involved, because the one involved has a selfish interest. You go to a third party and our ulama contextualize. So, the one receiving the loan is not the same as the one giving the loan. Hence, the level of difficulty, the bar is not as high as the one who has to give. You see the point here. Now, I know this leads to the issue of mortgages and houses. Believe me, it is like the number two question I'm being asked. We will get there, and I'll give you a detailed answer whenever that happens. Today we're asking about credit cards, so we're not going to talk about mortgages and whatnot today. So, credit card. The issue being that in a credit card, are you giving the money or are you receiving a loan and then have to pay? Which one is it? The second, which is the lower category. You guys following where I'm coming from, right? Okay. The credit concept, theoretically, is valid. Suppose I'm going to a shopping center and mashallah Imam Nadeem is with me. Mashallah tabarakallah, Imam Nadeem has a lot of money in his wallet. Mashallah tabarakallah, I don't have anything, right? And we go to Brother Mustafa's shop. And I realize I don't have any money. I say, oh, I don't have any money. Imam Saab, can you pay third party? Can you pay on my behalf? And you have my word, my credit, my honor. You know me. And I will pay you back tomorrow. Is this halal? By unanimous consensus, is halal. The concept of a third party credit is halal, right? And there is no doubt that the more trustworthy a person is, the more people will be willing to pay for him. If I have asked Imam Nadeem 10 times and never paid him back, on the 11th time if he pays, then he's the one that's not acting rationally. My credit score is now in the negative. So there's no problem. A person's credit score, a person's reliability, this is all something that is halal. So the concept of a third party taking charge and saying, you know what, Mr. Merchant, we will pay you your money on behalf of Imam Saab here. Don't worry. We trust him. We know his credit score. That, check, 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 halal, halal, halal. Where does the problem come? We all know. It's in one clause in the whole contract. The problem is not in the contract. The problem is not in the theoretical, you know, construct of a third party paying on credit. That's not a problem. That is completely legit. The problem in all of those five pages that you sign, there's one clause in there that says that in case you do not pay back within the 25 days or 30 days, then no problem. We want you to actually not pay because we will charge you riba. We all know that's where the credit companies make money. Jayyid. So this leads us to our next major controversy in Usul al-Fiqh. And that is, what do you do if a contract is valid, but one condition is invalid? This is a famous controversy. It goes back to the time of the Sahaba. It is called al-Shart al-Fasid, or the incorrect shart, the incorrect clause. And some of the tabi'un, they said the whole contract is batil, and most of the tabi'un, this is what the people pretty much agreed upon. It's like, no, look, you can't invalidate the whole contract because of one clause. That clause should be invalid, and the contract is valid. Therefore, theoretically, if we sign this document with a credit card company, theoretically, if tomorrow all of the rulings of this country were made into Sharia rulings, and then we went to a court of law, an Islamic Sharia court of law, they looked at the contract, the majority of scholars would say, oh, the contract is fine. Oh, but this one paragraph, delete it out and get rid of it. الشَّرْطُ بَاطِلْ وَالْعَقْدُ صَحِيحٌ. This is the majority interpretation, and this is what across Islamic centuries people have done. And this is proven explicitly in the famous hadith of Barir. I'm not going to go into it, but Aisha wanted to free a slave, and the people who wanted to, and she paid money for that, the people wanted to free the slave, they wanted to add an incorrect condition. Al-wala'u liman, it's too complicated to explain. So basically the Prophet ﷺ said that that shart is not valid and Barir will be freed. So he allowed the contract to go through and he made null what? Are you guys understanding the point? He made null that one clause. You understand this point, right? You can look it up, the hadith of Barira. It's a bit more, it's a different topic altogether. So from this, the majority of scholars, and this is the correct opinion, it's the one that people have acted upon. It's the common sense one. Like, you don't invalidate the whole contract because of an incorrect clause. So we're not living in an Islamic land. The Sharia tribunal courts are not here. What do we do now? Here is where we get to the final point. Given all that has preceded, that you are the one taking the loan, that in essence the contract is valid, that theoretically everything would be fine except for this one issue. And given the fact that for some people, credit cards make life very easy and not having them would make life extremely burdensome. The majority position from the Fiqh Council of Europe, of North America, of Amja, of most of our scholars in the world, even of Saudi and all and many countries. I don't know of any difference amongst any of the councils of ulama. And please, for modern issues, go to the councils. Don't just go to one sheikh in the middle of nowhere. Go to the collective bodies that have groups of people that discuss back and forth. Even Amja, which is generally on the more strict side of things, and I respect that about Amja, and I'm a member of Amja, so I'm not being harsh here. I attend Amja once in a while. Even Amja on its website has the same fatwa, and you can read it, and I checked it an hour ago just to make sure that it is there. And essentially, it is the same. All of these committees have the same ruling. What is it? Khulasatul Qawl. If a person is in need, not a life and death situation, but life would become quite cumbersome without a credit card. Pause here. This means it's not an open license. It's not a green light. It's a yellow light. People have to look at themselves. Some people live very simple, modest lives. They go to work, they go to grocery, they pay the rent, and that's it. Why would they need a credit card? Debit cards will do fine, and cash will do fine, and checks will do fine. Other people, and I am one of them, travel all the time. And they need to rent cars. I'm renting a car in 3 days, I'm going somewhere. They need to prepay hotels. Most hotels do not accept debit cards. Almost all hotels do not accept prepaid money cards. You need an actual credit card. The amount of traveling that a traveler does, like myself, I know from my own experience, it would not be possible to do what I'm doing without a credit card. So not everybody's life is the same. Those who need the credit card, now I go on, not everybody. Those who feel that life would be very difficult without that. The fatwa says they are allowed to take one with the extensive, yani firm niyyah, that they will never exceed what they're able to pay, number one. And number two, they will always pay on time, and so they have to be extra conscientious. They have to monitor. Now the burden is on them. They don't want to fall into riba, even if it's on the other side. So with these two conditions, that or three actually, number one, you really need it. It's not just an open license for anybody. Number two, that you never purchase more than you can pay by the end of the month. You don't take advantage. Realize the credit card companies, they dangle more credit in front of you because they want you to go into debt. That's how they make their money. You can only pay 1,000, they give you 2,000 credit. Why? Oh, you see that nice this, nice. Oh, let me buy it. And then you can't pay it. What do? You end up paying double, triple over 10, 15 years. That's what the credit card companies want. We don't want that. So we try our best. Not just try. That is our sincere intention. We never purchase more than what is on our budget, and we make it sincere effort. We will pay on time. And these days, alhamdulillah, you actually have automatic payments on most credit cards. You don't even have to sign up to write a check. You literally just put it on and it pays automatically. Therefore, with these three conditions met, the standard position of pretty much all the scholarly committees is that it is permissible to have a credit card. For those who don't, they should not, and they should restrict themselves to debit cards or to checks or to prepaid. And that's a good thing that many average shops, not car rental companies and not hotels. But if you go to any store and you have a loaded credit card, you know what they are, not a credit card, a loaded prepaid card. You know you can buy them from Walgreens, you can buy them from anywhere. It's Amazon or Visa, whatever. You put on cash, you pay cash. You say, here's 500, load this for 500. Now it becomes like a simple debit card. So for those who don't, definitely you should take advantage of these ones. For those who need to, then inshallah ta'ala, it is allowed. And with this inshallah ta'ala, we conclude.
لا يزال الخير حيا لا يزال إن في الدنيا سلاما وظلال أخبر الأيام أنا في وصال قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال